What's some advice around managing staff, or how do you manage your team?
Understand when it's time to let someone go who's not benefiting your structure and your business, because it, you know, you're a franchisee. This isn't some big business with multi-tiered structure. It's you, and then it's the boys underneath you. And if you're not happy with how someone is operating within your business, you're not going to be happy until they're not there anymore or they've changed. I've let them know that I wasn't happy with the way they were doing some of the job as different to the way I'd instructed them. And then after they were unable to change the way they were operating, I sat them down and said, thank you, boys. I respect everything you've done for me. I really appreciate it, especially through summer. It's just, we're no longer a good fit anymore. And I'm just going to have to let you go. You got to think that it's you and then there's no one in the middle to manage that. So you got to learn the right way to do that.
So Patrick, thanks for joining us on the Gyms Mowing and Gyms Group podcast. And first of all, we'll congratulate you and present you with the Accor Silver membership, which is worth around $600, $700, which gives you two free nights to any Accor hotel, plus a bunch of other benefits as well. So we'll shoot that up to you after this as well. And I had a look at your record before coming on. So you're a bit of a star franchisee of the customer service. So congratulations on getting so many five-star ratings. And I think you sit in a tough area as well. So it's not easy to get five-star reviews where you live, or?
No, it's an interesting area, but you just got to learn, you know, you got to learn the way to get those stars. You got to understand the demographic of where you are and sort of play to that demographic in it, obviously in an ethical and responsible way, but just, you know, but it's not harsh if you're doing the right job and, you know, and making sure you're cleaning up after your staff and making sure they're doing the right thing as well. So it's not as hard as it is if you're doing the right thing.
Now, what were you doing prior to Gyms Mowing?
So I'm a chippy by trade. I finished my schooling, but then the minute I finished school, I jumped into a carpentry trade and then did my carpentry and then my certificate for in building. And yeah, was doing residential originally and then commercial. And then I moved over to bought my Gyms Mowing franchise in the eastern suburbs.
And what prompted the change from being a chippy to doing Gyms Mowing?
Yeah, so I really started getting the urge to go and study. I didn't go to uni, obviously, out of school because I got my trade and I didn't have that urge originally. And then over the last couple of years, I really had an urge to study. As I was running my own carpentry business, sort of having to deal with that and being locked into full-time commercial construction was, you know, big hours, you know, having to do all of the work myself. It just wasn't going to be as flexible as I needed if I did want to go and study. And I wanted to do a law degree, which I have started now. So I was just, it's such a big degree. And if you're locked into 5 days a week, you know, 10-hour, 12-hour days on construction, it's just not going to do it. And if you are get through it, you're not going to do it right.
Yep.
So I looked at finding something that was going to allow me to be more flexible. And I spoke to another franchisee who I was good friends with. And we talked about his model and that sort of suited what I wanted. And so I purchased the business with that in mind, and it's been really great for that.
So where are you doing law? Where are you studying?
So I'm at University of Technology, Sydney, doing just a straight law degree.
And what prompted that? Why do you want to do law? Because I did law commerce as well. So
really?
Yeah, my first job moving up from the country to Melbourne was actually at Gyms Group, because I was doing my study at the same time. So
yeah,
I've done law commerce as well. So I understand it'd be very hard to do full time doing that and then trying to come home and do even a part-time load, you'd just be like, you'd be knackered. So,
obviously, like when I first started with Gyms, because I didn't have staff and I had to scale up the clients myself, you know, there was a little bit of a bit on my plate at the beginning, which I had to manage, but that's all right. But then, you know, as you start getting staff and training your staff and then getting boys, especially in summer, and getting your boys and girls working for you, and then they, you know, if once they've been working for you for a while, then they can start training as well. And it just sort of slowly just took the load off my shoulders a little bit and I was able to focus. Still do, like I'm still pushing the mower. Like tomorrow I've got a big day in the east pushing the mower. But, you know, if I need to, I can take 1 or 2 days where I'm just at uni and I know my boys are working, you know, the full 8-hour day, making me that passive income while I get to do my law degree and focus on that, which is good.
Now, who's your mate? Is it Connor? Or who's? Connor McGreevy,
Connor McGreevy, he's one of my mates, he's a franchisee.
He's a good operator.
Yeah.
I met him before and I was quite impressed with how young he was and the setup he runs. So,
and his partner, they both got their heads screwed on, right? And they got little business minds. Good.
No, it's fantastic. So, if you're learning from them, you're in really good company. I was quite amazed when I met him for how old he is, for what he's been able to do. It's a really impressive setup.
Any phone call as well, he's just got time for you as well. And he just, you know, you ask him a question and he really answers in depth. It's really impressive. So.
It sounds like you're a very accomplished young man already. Like, how old are you? How old are you, Patrick?
28. So a little bit older than Kyle. Yeah, still late 20s.
You're only young, mate. But yeah, so what prompted law? So you've been a chippy. You're obviously doing the garden. So what was the interest in doing law and decided to do that?
I've always loved inhaling information. Like, book reader as a kid, I used to go to sleep with a pile of books sort of a foot tall on my bed. Mum used to have to take them off my bed when I fell asleep because I just loved reading. And I love carpentry. It's such a good trade. I'm so happy I've got it, especially in winter when, you know, when the grass stops growing so quick and I might need an extra day or whatever. I need to jump back on the tools. But I had this insatiable need to learn and to inhale information. And I really, really also had that need as well for education. And I originally didn't do it. I did want to do it when I left school, but I just, you know, I had to pay rent. I moved out. So I was like, no, trade's going to get me that. But now that I've had the time to sort of look back, I'm like, I definitely want to do this, to have this education and to get this knowledge and information and sort of, I know, the other side of the world, not just the trade world, but the corporate world a little bit. So, so I just decided to dive into it. I was like, laws, so it's such a big umbrella subject as well. So it's, you know, you're not locked into one specific thing. I don't have to be a solicitor in an office or a barrister or anything like that. There's a thousand things you can do. Sort of like a business degree, I guess. You know, it's a big umbrella subject. So it's got lots of avenues I can choose.
Now, are you doing a part-time load or a full-time study load?
Three subjects. So it's just full-time. Like, there's a lot of people doing, there's a lot of, you know, 19-year-olds doing four and five subjects.
Yeah.
Living at home and working one shift at a pub. Yeah, it's three subjects. That feels bloody full-time to me.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. I remember. And I work an office job, so it's a bit different, whereas you're out in the field doing things. So let's talk about then how have you made, like, it's pretty impressive what you've done with your setup. So you've, as I said, you've mentioned words like passive income, and you've set up your business in a way where you're running it with employees, which are maintaining the quality, which is the hardest thing generally. Is the main box. Gyms is a very high quality standard in regards to customer service. Like, you can't have your employees stuffing up things in gyms going to wipe the complaint. It goes on you. So how have you maintained the quality in your business?
Yeah, so I kind of look at gyms, at least for me, as two different businesses. There's winter and then there's spring and summer. And in winter, I'll start with winter because I guess that's what we're in now. It's a lot easier with the workload I've got at the moment because I cut down all my summer employees and I got my most experienced employee, had a chat with him, let him know that I'd like sort of him and to be my main employee and to work as many days a week during the winter as he can. You know, for days when we need a second boy, I've got those summer casuals on call. Hopefully they answer, but they do. But, and so during winter, I just run that one or two boys that I've trained up really well. I've worked with them myself. I've trained them personally. I know their quality of work. They can ring me all day with whatever they want. Every job they're doing is a job that I've done with them, basically. So, you know, I've got that trust in them, and that's how I maintain sort of the level of quality of work that I expect from myself. And also, I give them a call at the end of the day, run it through the day with them, make sure I go over any little things I think that, you know, I've forgotten in the past, so I'll see if they've forgotten, and then I'll make sure that if they have, I'll go back the next day and get it done. I won't send an invoice until that's done. All those little things that ensure that the customers feel like they're being looked after. And then summer, obviously, that's from end of August, really, just ramps up, and I have to sort of try as hard as I can to bring on bigger team of boys. We're usually running like 3 to 4 teams of two, you know, most days of the week, which is obviously a lot tougher to manage. I usually, you know, for the first few weeks at least of that, I'm there with them. Any new employees that I haven't got, I have to be by their side until I feel like they're, you know, at a point where I can leave them with a more experienced guy and then he can keep training them. And yeah, and I obviously appoint a leader of those two. I make sure one of them knows that the quality's on them. Any little things at the end, sort of they're in charge of cleaning up and make sure and looking for things that the other one might miss. And it helps the teams of two as well because they usually pick up what the other one's missed as well. So, yeah, obviously in summer, it's a little bit longer at the end of the day, making sure that, you know, because you're asking four teams at the end of the day what they've done and going through all their jobs with them. If they're doing all regulars, it's a lot easier. Like, this, we go, yep, how'd you go on, say, blah, 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 34, and So Jig Street or whatever. That's not a real street, don't worry. How'd that go? And they're like, yep, all good. Did the exact same we've all done on the regular. So yeah, it's good having, it's easy with regulars as well because, you know, they're going to do the same thing every time.
And how do you find your employees then, Patrick? Because it's a big problem for gym bowling franchisees all over the countries, finding good staff. So how do you do it, and how do you manage to find good people?
So that's my number one issue. Staffing has been 100% my biggest issue. And I do feel like it's since COVID, a lot of the younger, and because I've talked about it with other business owners, like my brother's a business owner, et cetera. I do feel like a lot of the younger generation since COVID has kicked back a gear. You know, feels like since the government paid them for 2 years that's how life is. And so it has been a lot tougher getting workers to work. A few things that have worked for me, obviously asking younger mates if any of their mates need work. So that's just a standard. The second one is high school I went to was a boarding school in Sydney with lots of country boys, and they have an old boys union, and I can post ads on there or get the leader of the old boys union to post ads on there. And a lot of the country boys who work in Sydney have a great work ethic because they've been working on the farm with their parents, and now they're living in Sydney doing a uni degree, and the pub job might not suit them that well because, you know, they don't want to be working every night. So if my ad gets to them through the old boys union, I do find a lot of country boys, especially when the weather warms up, they put their hand up for work. So during summer, I've been lucky, like the last two summers, I've had a couple of country boys pushing mowers. And, you know, I do find they're just real, you know, straight edge. You know, what you see is what you get, boys. And
not soft.
Yeah. Yeah. So
also, yeah, I'm from country originally. So also, I'm just.
And yeah, just. Through them, that a lot of them are uni boys as well. So I just go, boys, just ask all your mates, like, do they want work?
Yeah.
I'll just be, a few of them are at college, and they just ask all their mates at college. And yeah, well, it's good. And I do let them know at the beginning. I was like, just saying, you know, like after summer, like this is more of a summer job. After summer, I won't have as many numbers. If you do want to work through winter, we can chat about that. But it's a big summer job, and then it means my numbers go down.
No, fair enough. And so at the summer, how many teams did you run? Did you say four before?
I think, it was about three teams of two.
Yep.
And then that was, during summer. And then sometimes it'll be, two teams of two and then me as the third team. And yep. Then, you know, I would go in between having an offsider or not. Often I'd do days by myself or days with an offsider. It would just depend on the day. But then, so I had two utes running with four boys and then two in each ute and then myself as well.
And German unis on, are you out in the field maybe 3 days a week, or how are you structuring your own life?
Yeah, so in winter, I'm actually at the moment, because I wanted to keep this casual that I've got at the moment, he's great. He's really responsible, rings me at the end of the day, that's how he goes, and he wanted more work. So I was like, yeah, no worries. So I've actually taken a big step back from pushing the mower just during winter, and I'm letting him do pretty much all the jobs. I'll do 1 day a week, a full 10-hour day, and then he does about 3 days a week, full days. And then those other days, I'm just on the tools, like just working for my mates, building decks as a jimmy, which is good. I didn't have to do that. I could have just worked by myself during winter, but I'd rather not lose this casual.
Well, it's very unique what you're doing. I've never heard of anyone doing what you're doing in my time at gyms, and it's quite unique how you come in with this mindset of having a sort of semi-passive income business, but when you need to ease up a bit to have that lifestyle where you can do your study and commit to your study properly, which is very impressive to do. I've never heard of anyone doing what you're doing, so it's a very, you're obviously very cluey about your setup, and it's good to hear that Connor's sort of tell you how to do it. But in regards to the business itself with gyms, did you come and do the training at Pet Office or?
No, it was during...
went online.
It's the end of COVID, but it was still COVID, so it was all online.
And it's amazing that, because we found out when we had the people do it in person compared to the online ones, that the online people tend to do worse in regards to more complaints because they weren't paying attention during it. But obviously, you paid attention to it, and you're putting it into place, which is fantastic. So,
I think also I had done 3 years before that of a lot of my own, like building under my company, construction company, which was client small scale renovations, basically anything under $20,000 for, you know, where, so it was very personal. I had a lot of all my clients I knew when I was working for them. They were often there. You just have to know how to deal with clients and you know, be respectful and understand that what, yeah, just the ways of keeping a client on your side in the right way. Like, you know, as a tradesman, I might speak in a language that'll work with a tradie, but you know, if I'm just speaking the same way to a client, they're not going to understand that. So yeah, I learned that through my building and I brought that across.
Yeah. Maybe what are some tips for, you know, from your perspective that people can do, maybe if they're other franchisees or just other small businesses, what are some tips or some things that you think you do really well from that communication or from that client?
Right. So I, except for clients that I know don't want it, I always make sure, even if it's regularly scheduled, I always text the night before or the day before to let them know that me or my boys will be there. And I'm very careful with the wording. I'll say, I'll be there tomorrow or my boys will be there tomorrow, because I don't want them to look outside and it's not me if I've said I will be there. And I'll, you know, if I send my boys, I want them to look outside and it's two of my boys. And I'm only saying boys because I don't have any female employees. We do have one, but yeah, just at the moment, we've just got some boys working for us. Right. That's one tip. Just, you know, it's just common decency. Like, yeah, we've locked in a regular job, but it's their house and you're going to someone's house in their backyard. So you let them know, you know, you might not be knocking on the door. You might go down the side. That's agreed. But you're letting them know that you're going to be at their house the next day. Sometimes, every now and again, they go, oh, thanks for reminding me. We've actually got a family get together in the backyard. So it also helps you because you don't end up being turned away at the door. Some tips for keeping up. If I notice anything that's not on the regular job, for example, a job in Bondi, their back gutter was full. If it's not too bad, I'll jump up there probably on a ladder and just maybe get it. But if it's bad, what I did was I go, hey, just letting you know, I didn't do it today because I'm not going to do something and charge you for it without you asking. But I've noticed your back gutter's full. Can do it very easily. I'll jump on the ladder on the next job. I get it done and I'll do it for, you know, a minimal added cost extra. Let me know if you'd like this done. And then that opens up a line of communication, and then they know you're being honest with them. They know you're not going to do something and charge for it without asking them first, things like that. Builds up trust with them. Yeah, those would be some ones that I those are two main ones. Just the text helps so much. Like, I found that really does. It saved me more than it saved the client in the amount of times we got turned away from someone going, oh, I forgot you were coming today. Can't have you here today. That was a big one. But it actually, it also looks like you're doing the right thing because you're letting them know you'll be at their house.
Absolutely. Now, with your business, Patrick, what equipment do you guys use in your business? What type of equipment?
All steel. It's all the two-stroke steel. And then the mower is the smaller Honda mower, which is...
The HRU, the steel-based thing with the red on top?
Yeah. But the one you can pick up, basically, put on the back of you without doing your back end.
Do you run anything out of the ute? Do you run a trailer? Do you run a van? Or what do you guys run?
I've got a big Jim's mowing trailer. The way I use that, though, it's... because I'm obviously in the eastern suburbs, I'm not going to be driving around with a trailer. So I've got my ute, my Jim's mowing ute, which we use all day. And then if we have jobs where they're not happy with us using their green bins, or we do, say, like a regular job, they want their once in every 6 month big garden tidy up, and we're going to have heaps of green waste. Instead of trying to just shove that down into their green bin and annoy them, and it's a lot of respecting, I'll get the boys to drop off those bags in the trailer, which is parked in the all-day parking. And at the end of every, say, 2 weeks, that usually gets filled up to the top and I do a tip run with that.
And with your teams, managing people is always a lot of franchisees might be in gyms for 20 years and never want to have an employee because they don't want to manage people. So what's some advice around managing staff, or how do you manage your team?
Can sound a bit cold, but understand when it's time to let someone go who's not benefiting your structure and your business, because, you know, you're a franchisee. This isn't some big business with multi-tiered, you know, it's a structure. It's you and then it's the boys underneath you. And if you're not happy with how someone is operating within your business, you're not going to be happy until they're not there anymore or they've changed. At the end of summer, I had to have a sit down with a couple of my boys and let them know. I'd given them warnings. I'd let them know that I wasn't happy with it, the way they were doing some of the jobs and doing the days as different to the way I'd instructed them. And then after they were unable to change the way they were operating, I sat them down and said, thank you, boys. I respect everything you've done for me. I really appreciate, especially through summer, big nudge. You've helped keep us through a big summer rush, but it just, we're no longer a good fit anymore and I'm just going to have to let you go. And it's, you know, it's, you can't be embarrassed or nervous or whatever to do that. You got to think that it's you and then it's them. There's no one in the middle to manage that. So you got to learn the right way to do that.
That's some really good advice. Now, what I'll do as well before I let you go is Jim is actually starting up Jim's Legal. So if you're ever going to want to transition across into Jim's Legal,
here we go.
Look, mate, it's very impressive what you've done. You obviously got a really great business mindset, and obviously being a GP and running your business before, you come to gyms and just obviously keep the ground flying. And is there any sort of advice you would give to someone maybe looking at doing it? Or because you've gone in with a really deliberate mindset of actually being a business owner, like you're working on the business, not just in it. Well, you are sometimes, but you're really working on it, and you've got that mindset. So maybe, what advice do you have someone maybe looking at it or thinking about doing something similar to you?
Yeah, right. So, like I said, you're going to have clients that you have to know. You have to know all your clients. You know, every text I send, I make it personal. I write their first name when I say, "Hi, John," and make sure that there is that relationship, because you're not working with other businesses, you're working with people. So just understand that you have to know how to talk and be personable, and understand that you have to respect the relationship with a client. You're not working with other businesses. So that's the business you're going into. There's a people business there. That's a massive one. So, you know, you have to understand how to talk to people in the right way and mitigate conflicts, and which do come up. It's just nature of the business. But, you know, you can still keep a 5-star rating if there has been conflicts, because you're going to learn how to mitigate those. And then also one massive thing of advice is, before thinking about bringing on staff, every job you should do it over and over until you know it by the back of your hand. So you know what I mean? You need to know that client, and I want you to know all those jobs by the back end before you even start bringing on staff, because it's really important that you know your own business inside and out. And it's a small scale business, really, really important, you know, like the back of your hand. So if eventually you do get staff and they call you about staff, you just straight away close your eyes and you picture exactly where they're standing in that backyard or whatever, and you know there's weeds coming out of that footpath. So yeah, so that's a main thing. Before staff, just get your head around every job, do the runs, work out what works for you first, and before you bring other staff on, because then you can sort of implement that with them as well.
Now, some great advice, mate. As I said, I've never met anyone. I've been in gyms for 12 years doing what you're doing. It's really, really impressive. And as you said, most uni kids or most people going to uni would do like the, you know, a day or week 2 here, but not actually run a multi-person business whilst doing this. It's quite impressive what you're doing, Patrick. So I know it might be embarrassing you here, but it's really, really impressive what you've done. I mean that genuinely. It's I did law of commerce myself, and I was doing an office job, and I knew, you know, and I was stressing sometimes. So to run my business plus do that is extremely impressive. So we'll get this off to you. Take around 5 business days to get to you, but it's 2 free nights at any F4 hotel, some drinks, and a 50% of any dinners for a year. So please use that.
Oh, good. No worries. Thanks.
No worries, Patrick. Great to meet you, mate.
To meet you.
Thanks, mate. See ya.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the More Than Just Mowing podcast by Jim's Mowing. If you do need help with your local gardening expert, please give us a call at 131546 for Australia, 0800 454 654 for New Zealand, or head to jimsmowing.com.au or jimsmowing.co.nz. If you liked what you heard, please make sure to leave us a review as well. Wherever you consume your podcast, we appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.